Well, thank you, Cindy. It's a pleasure to be here with the Exceptional Connections community. I thoroughly enjoyed meeting with you all last Tuesday and have been looking forward to this call as well. So it's a really powerful group of people that come together once a month, and it's delightful to be part of it. So as you mentioned, the title of the talk that I gave last week was Claim Your Place as a Thought Leader, Get Visible. So, you know, I just want to, like you said, do a little recap for those who weren't there. So I started off talking about how thought leader status comes to those who claim it. It's really not something that we need to wait for other people's permission to grant us. It's ours to claim. And it requires that we be seen, we be heard, and we be visible. And sometimes that can be kind of challenging. I know. I'm sitting here actually in my office here in the Seattle area looking at a screensaver that I created for myself. And it has those three terms on it: be seen, be heard, be visible, because I need the reminder as well. So that's what it takes to become a thought leader, and this call is really about giving you some guidance and having a conversation about how to make that happen. So let's just start off with the definition of a thought leader. And the definition that I've come to know, and I've been in this field of helping thought leaders, business leaders, subject matter experts write about their expertise for about 16 years. I started it back in 2001. So I've had some experience with it, and I've come to use the following as a way to define what a thought leader is. And they are subject matter experts. They're people who have devoted their entire professional lives to acquiring and creating a body of knowledge, really, that they use to serve their clients. So they're subject matter experts, and they have a point of view that they share boldly. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit more later about point of view, because I'm not sure everybody really has a grasp that they have a point of view, and part of the work that I do with people is helping them become conscious about what their point of view is, because we all have one, and it is empowering and helps us attract more business when we can express it clearly and with a conscious strategy for making ourselves known and visible through that point of view. The third element of a thought leader is that they're highly visible and that they execute a plan that continually keeps them in front of their primary audience and the target people that they want to work with. And the fourth element is that they create and share content. They've developed intellectual property and that shares their expertise, which then leads to an increased amount of credibility and then attracts more clients and more business, because that's really what it takes, is getting clear about what it is that you're offering and expressing it in a planful, strategic way. And when I talk about, you know, creating content and intellectual property, the things I'm talking about are articles, about blogs, workshops, presentations, social media posts. You know, I help people write and publish books, but books are just one way to have intellectual property be out in the world. We're actually every day as business owners creating content and sharing it. And my desire through this call and through the work that I do is to help people get get some ease and some understanding about the importance of being planful about the content that they put in the world when they speak, when they post on social media, when they write articles. Because in this day and age and this world we live in, we have to be putting out content. It's just part of the way that we do business. Yes, we're in front of people, we have networking groups, but we're also putting things out in writing on a daily basis. And then the last thing I'll share about that and what thought leaders do is that they invite others to share their journey. You know, they see the value in collaborating with others, because when we all come together and are like-minded and support one another, we have a greater impact. And I think also create a better product. You know, I'm a firm believer, and it's part of my background and training as a business owner, is to help other people grow. That I don't have this sense of a lot of competition, that even if people who do a similar job that I have, there's plenty of work out there for everybody. And when we come together, we can just make each other stronger, and it helps us build our businesses. So thought leaders have that point of view of collaboration, and they invite other people to share their journey. That means colleagues as well as their own clients. So bottom line, when it comes to defining thought leaders, they are people who have something to say. They say it boldly. They have a plan for expressing their point of view and execute that plan. And that leads to people listening and having a big impact in the world. So if that's the experience you desire, I'm going to, you know, give you a path to follow to get started with making that, putting that stake in the ground and making your claim for being a thought leader and taking on the status that you have worked so hard to achieve. But before we get going, one of the things I promised is I would make pauses for questions. So this is a good time to have a pause. So are there any questions out there about this definition of thought leader?
Okay, I just unmuted everyone, so you're welcome to chime in.
Okay, it's Bobby here.
Okay, hi, Bobby.
Hello. It's good to hear you again. So, one of the thoughts that came up during our meeting was, you know, I really don't have anything unique to say. Everybody's saying I'm just kind of filling it in. And I thought about that a lot, and, you know, about what you said is perspective on everybody has their unique take on any given subject.
Mm-hmm.
What would be your advice as an avenue to define your perspective, your niche in any given subject matter or intellectual property?
That's an awesome question, a really great question, because I do believe that we all have a unique perspective. And, you know, there is a kind of a point of view out there, and I heard this when I was in college. I had a professor tell me, there's nothing new under the sun. The Greeks invented it all. And, you know, there's some truth to that. In a way, but we all have our own way of expressing, you know, what we do, whether, you know, so to me, the first step that I encourage people when they're wanting to write and start sharing their point of view is to actually get quiet and to know themselves, get to know what it is that they want to say or being called to say, being called to share in the world, and to get to know what their point of view is. And I have this whole process that I take people through to help them, you know, understand their point of view. So, you know, you can't really do it all on the call, but it's to take some reflection time to think about your business. It's, you know, a lot of business coaches will talk about spending time in your business and on your business. That and being in your business means serving your clients, but it definitely is important to take time to work on your business to have clarity about just what we're talking about. What is it that I have to say? What makes me unique? You know, how am I different than the other people who might be doing something similar to what I'm doing? So is that helpful?
Tremendously.
Okay. Like, so an example I'll use myself is, you know, I help people write and publish books. Well, I established a niche for myself in that I help people with what I call nonfiction expert books. And it's about capturing and sharing your expertise in the world, the your point of view, the process that you use to work with people, and I have a system and a book outline to help people give some structure to that. But there's a lot of people out there helping people write books, but I wanted to go into this niche because there's a need. And I, you know, it took me a while to discover the need because I started off helping people write memoir and life story. I have a passion for that, but it wasn't very lucrative in the beginning. I realized that's kind of a luxury item for people, but there's this great need for experts to publish, especially then as the publishing industry changed and self-publishing became more accessible and easier. Like when I first started my business, it was in 2001. Think of this. Amazon didn't exist, so there wasn't really a forum for easily distributing books. Print-on-demand was a very new industry. And so since the time that I started working with people and now, the whole publishing industry has changed. So it's become more accessible to people. So I think that's another thing that thought leaders do. And as we express, you know, get clear, look at your industry and how you fit in it as well. Is that helpful?
Yes, very.
Okay.
For me, it was a matter of, or I'm still considering, someone told me everybody has a book within them, and I looked within me, and all I could find was the comic. So I'm thinking my perspective might be I need to write a comic book. But but that's a possibility. Thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome. And it's a great question because it leads into the path that I wanted to share with people about, you know, viewing themselves as a thought leader. And the first thing is really to know yourself and what you offer, what you're being called to do, what you have a passion for, knowing what your strengths are, knowing what your weaknesses are, taking time to assess, you know, where you are personally and where you are with your business. Again, working on yourself and your business. And then the second step being then trusting what you've discovered, trusting what you know. And I know we talked at the meeting last week about, who is it, our colleague Nikki Roush, who talks in her trainings encourages people to, you know, acknowledge that I know what I know, and to get behind that and to trust that the skills that mm-hmm. we've been given by God, and then what we've then developed over time and through our working our businesses and having the education that we commit to and invest in, that trusting what's developed over time. The third step then is to then committing to a vision for your business and then sticking with it and believing in it and persevering over time. I know everyone on the call probably have had the experience of some days of, oh my gosh, I don't know if I want to keep doing this. Today's really hard. And, you know, we just keep going. Because, I mean, I would not have thought that my business would be in the place that it is today back in 2001. Actually, I'll tell this story. 2001, the first day of business, I had just finished, graduated. It was in December of 2000. I graduated from Seattle University. I decided I didn't want to go back in the corporate world. I was going to help people write. I set up my business. And like my first day, it's like, okay, January 8th, 2001. And I had lunch with a former professor that day. And I came home, it was pouring down rain, and I just burst into tears. It's like I realized I had no idea what I was doing, even though I had, like, done this business plan and all that, and I realized I need some help here. So it's like, and now, you know, 16 and a half years later, I have a business that is doing quite well, and you know, I committed to the vision, and I changed the vision over time and just kind of let things evolve and worked hard along the way, got a lot of support. That's how I met Cindy, through a networking organization for women, and just stayed with the commitment through all the ups and downs. So third step. The fourth step is then express yourself and your point of view boldly, without apology. And let me just talk a little bit about point of view for a minute, because for me, how I teach this whole notion of point of view, it's the intersection of three different things. And if you can envision three circles kind of coming together, and in the middle, there'd be this shaded in place where they intersect. So it's knowing your purpose, that what we've just been talking about knowing yourself, and then also understanding your expertise and taking ownership of that expertise. So those are two of the circles. And then the third one then is knowing your audience. And the intersection of them is, you know, kind of in the middle. And that's where the essence of your point of view is. So let me talk a minute about the audience. So as business owners, we must know our audience, about who they are and what the problem is that they are asking us to help them solve. Because that's what we do as business owners. We help people solve a problem. So, for example, I help people write and publish books. Well, the problem, I mean, they're not having a problem writing and publishing the books. What they have a problem with is that they're afraid and they doubt and they don't know what to do. They have the desire, they know the expertise, but they just really are afraid, they have a lot of doubt, they don't know what to do. And I help them solve that problem of overcoming the fear and then kind of dealing with the doubt and the fear that comes along throughout the process, and I give them a path to follow. So my hope is that people can see the difference between the service I provide and underlying it, how I help the people that I work with solve a problem. So knowing your audience is critically important. And I came up with my point of view, which is to, sorry, I just had a I just had a blip. It's like, get visible or disappear. Choose one. That the people that I work with want to be more visible and use a book and writing content to make that happen. So I help them make that choice to be visible. Oftentimes, I know when I was first talking to Cindy, I said, you know, underlying it all, Cindy, it's like, be visible or get a job. You know, that's what it kind of comes down to. It's like either commit to this work or do something different. So I love that I have that clarity around that's what I'm helping people do, to be visible or not. Let's make a choice about it. And either choice is fine. It's just make a choice. So when we know our purpose, and who we are, and what we offer, and we understand our, and we own our expertise, and we know our audience, that's the place that we can explore to find our point of view. And one of the ways to kind of come up with your point of view is to listen to yourself and how you talk with your clients or the people that are exploring working with you. What do you find yourself saying over and over again? Because I know I found myself saying, well, you know, let's make a choice about this. I get that you're afraid. I hear the self-doubt. And what is it that you want? You know, what's your purpose? And so that's how I came up with my point of view. So it's listening to yourself and then also listening to your audience and what they are requesting help with. So I want to focus on this a little bit because oftentimes for business owners, there's a difference between what our clients or potential clients are asking us for and what we are interpreting their needs are. So we can say, oh, this person needs this, but they're asking us for something different. So it's, you know, this, I got this from a business coach that I hired and worked with for a while. She kept asking me, Karen, what are the people asking you for? Not what you think they want or what you want to offer to them. What are they actually asking for? Because that's what they'll pay for. Really critical reflection process that I went through when she asked me that question. So, see, I lost my note. I lost my train of thought here. So why don't we take another pause for after talking about that process of kind of ownership of being a thought leader. Any other questions?
Karen, Cindy here. I just want to jump in and say that I, you know, as you mentioned, your kind of your tagline, be visible or disappear, choose one, or be visible, you know, and how you really translate it, the bottom line is, or get a job. I love that, and it gives me a chuckle every time I hear it because it's so bold, you know what I mean? It's so in your face. It's really very much the bottom line, and for a lot of business owners, you know, they don't even realize that they're not really operating their business as a business, that in many ways it's a hobby. And I think it's important for all of us, no matter where you're at, to really be not only clear for others, but most importantly, just really kind of straight with yourself.
Yes, I agree. And I think, Cindy, that comes in the value of, like, the community that you've created with Exceptional Connections, that it's a place for people to kind of explore that as well. And we can have this kind of conversation to help ourselves.
Right.
So,
And with no judgment, I should add that. When you bring it in the context of a community, it's not like we're judging people who are, you know, kind of partly in their business because we don't, everybody has their own challenges, and it's all about timing too. So it's not about judgment. It's just more about helping yourself and others get clarity. And I love that that's your mission, you know, that there's so many things about what you stand for, Karen, that I really respect and admire and think are brilliant. And I appreciate that stand you are for us as business owners or you know, individuals to claim our place. And,
yeah.
you know, and very much like I think what Bobby was saying, you know, to consider ourselves as thought leaders, even if we haven't produced blogs or articles or, you know, just to realize we all have a unique perspective.
Yes, and there's always a new day. Today is always a new day, and you can start creating content. You know, one, it's all, there's always a new opportunity. And, you know, and I, one of the things I want to share with you, you all, because I've been through this whole process myself. I, something Cindy said sparked something I wanted to share. I spent a decade playing around with my business. It really was a hobby. And it wasn't intentional. It was more, I wasn't quite sure what to do. I wasn't very confident. Again, like I told you, the self-publishing world was, it wasn't as accepted as it is now. There weren't the options that there are now. They're really powerful options now. And I was afraid to make the claim, which is I feel like why I can talk about it so passionately now. And the other piece was, I was kind of waiting around for my husband's approval, and I was trying to like I was trying to help him in a we had do some real estate investing, and we had properties, and we knew there was all this stuff going on, and trying to help him, and you know, in my mind saying be a good wife. And And I finally realized, oh, my gosh, I'm doing nothing well, and had to take stand with what it is that was important for me to do. You know, I've gone through this whole process that I've just shared with you, and had to make a couple hard conversations with him. And I had two coaches. One of them said to me, when are you going to write your own book? Because I hadn't done that yet. And another one said to me, what are you waiting for? I responded to both of those by writing a book about, which is really about how to write a book, how to plan a book, to walk people through a process. And to the other question, I realized I was waiting for my husband's approval. And it was both were quite eye-opening. And when I addressed both of those questions, my business transformed. It was this awesome experience and challenging as well. And I tell you, my husband doesn't give me any crap about my business anymore because I make money. And I contribute, and so it's kind of interesting because to reflect on all of that. And when I got serious, all of the kind of conflict between us about money and my time disappeared. Really powerful.
Karen, well, this is Gail.
Hi.
I can relate so much to what you just said, because I think I've been dragging my feet for 5 years, and I haven't made, I thought the be visible or just disappear quote was kind of strange, but since you've just put it in perspective, it's just like any other decision you got to make when you're in business for yourself. You've got to, you've got to just make that decision. But I agree with Cindy that it's a very bold statement, and it's, I think it's stronger than I realized the first time I read it. But I think once you make a decision to be visible, then you know, I would think that everything else, the other decisions to face your fears and just get out there and do it, I think those are a little bit easier. But I'm like you. I would make every excuse in the world for the last 5 years. Oh, you know, my husband needs me, or I need to do my other job, or mm-hmm. You know, just any number of reasons why you wouldn't get started. But mm-hmm. I'm glad to hear that somebody else has gone through exactly what I'm thinking every single day. So,
yeah, you know, I think it's a challenge to take a stand for ourselves as women sometimes, especially to put aside what other people want and need from us. And, I mean, not totally put it aside, but kind of navigate all that and then take a stand yeah. for ourselves. And what, you know, I believe God put us on this earth to do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, well, you can do it, and you can do it.
Well, you've given me a little more encouragement to get it done, so
awesome.
I'm going to get it done.
Here's Bobby. I have a thought because of much of the last 10 minutes discussion is based around something that I think women have a challenge with, and I have always had a challenge with it. Unless I make money mm-hmm. in my passion, then it's a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
And absolutely, excuse my French, bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
It is not a hobby. People mm-hmm. who have quote-unquote hobbies can make money. And mm-hmm. at what point does it cross over from a hobby to a business? Is that a male perspective that you can't be successful unless there is money produced? Mm-hmm. And then you can be called a business? I'm thinking we can have a third category, and I'd like to open that up to, you know, you have a hobby, a contribution, or a business.
Mm-hmm.
You have a hobby, something else, or a business. Mm-hmm. I just have this hard, hard problem wrapping my head around business, because when we use that word in our society today, then it is linked directly to success, to profitability, to being acknowledged by society that you are now, quote-unquote, important. Can we discuss that?
Sure. So here's my – thank you for that, Bobby. I think it has to do with your life and what you need. So if your life is structured in that you can spend time doing your hobby, and if it results in money or not, that's okay, that it's not affecting your livelihood or your well-being, more power to you. I think what, you know, Cindy's talking about, what I'm talking about is if people need to be earning money and supporting themselves well, and they're taking care of themselves, but they're not, that's not happening in their business, that's a problem that needs to be solved.
Mm-hmm.
Or if people want to just volunteer and give away what they do, that's okay, unless it's causing a problem. To get that's where I would differentiate. What do other people think?
I agree. This is Cindy. I really, and thank you for the clarification, Bobby, because you're right. I mean, it's not really just hobby or business. I think,
right.
you know, there's people that have just this burning desire, passion to make a difference in the world and, you know, as Bobby so eloquently said, make a contribution. So I really don't think it's all, I mean, there's all kinds of different places you can stand. I guess what I was referring to personally is just being true to yourself, because sometimes mm-hmm. we're not honest mm-hmm. with ourselves, and that's
mm-hmm.
really where I was coming from, is that you're acting like you're doing a business, but really the time commitment, your willingness to, you know, go outside your comfort zone, your willingness to spend money to create the infrastructure to provide, you know, to show people you're professional, that's missing. So for me, it's more a mindset issue. Is are you really operating in your business? Are you swinging the bat? Are you full out? Or are you, I always like to look at word pictures, are you on the sideline? You know, are you a participant? Are you on the court, let's say a basketball court, and you're playing full out, which means sometimes a little stinky, a little dirty, you get hurt? Or are you, you know, are you a participant? Or, excuse me, are you kind of in the stands, in the bystander? So it's just being, to me, just being honest with yourself more than anything else. And it's so that's where it's important not to judge others, because we're all in different places in our journey. And and I respect that, and it's all about timing. And I'll just say one more thing, and then I'll back out. But, you know, Karen, my husband, had this vision for me a couple years ago, like, Cindy, you need to write a book. And he was super excited about it. It's your time. You've got to write a book. And I'm like, yeah, I could. But I just didn't feel a burning desire. And we met with Karen, and he was really excited, and she just has a wealth of information, and she's there for people who are ready. And I know she could tell I wasn't ready. It wasn't, I didn't have that burning passion, desire to write a book. And I shared with her recently with, you know, some things I'm doing with the educational series and the networking nuggets and just different, frankly, intellectual property that I'm creating. I have a vision now. I'm not quite there, I told her, but I have a vision now, whereas before it was Curtis's vision. And so I think that's what's important, is to take ownership and to be, you know, really kind of be true to yourself. Like, what am I doing? Am I really doing this as a business, or is it just because I like, you know, I like hanging around entrepreneurs, or... You know what? So that's where I'm coming from. I hope that makes sense.
Well, Cindy, let me ask something. So that differentiation, would you have, before you came to any decision, have considered what you were doing a hobby? I think everything in our life is linguistics. Thoughts become things. If I say to you, hobby, and ask you what your emotional response to that is, or if I say to you business and ask what that emotional response is, you know, that's a very different thought process. Right. And it's giving negative thought to us because, oh, I'm only treating it as a hobby and not as a business. And when I listen to you, I mean, I came through a similar thing with husbands. You know, we work so hard to get recognition that what we do has worth and value and contribution, whether it has a bottom line dollar sign attached to it. It's called parenting. Okay. So when you were struggling with, you wanted your husband to recognize you, what was the first criteria that you wanted to use for them to recognize you? That you were putting money in the bank? So for me, in what I do with people, it's a matter of words create pictures in our head that gives us an emotional response because it's sort of a belief system. And that's just what I'm trying to work through right now. And thank you so much for saying that. And I'm, you know, I think I'm going to work on making the word contribution have equivalent of value in our lives as business with bottom line money.
I love that.
That's brilliant.
It's brilliant, and I agree with you. And again, you're right. I mean, I'm an English major. Karen's an English major, so words do mean something. You know what I mean? Words are important. You know, it's all, it is important, and maybe the word hobby was used too loosely. There's so many different ways you can look at it. So Exceptional Connections Networking started as an idea because I wanted to be a connector, an exceptional connector. And I saw people doing that, and I realized one way I can be a connector and be a contribution is to set up a place where when I meet somebody, I can introduce them to, you know, 10, first, 15, 20, 30, you know, 30 people.
Right.
So I get to be a contribution. And then it was a platform for my other business, Send Out Cards, that I've been doing for a number of years. So that evolved. And I can tell you now, it, you know, it didn't make money in the beginning. And it was time and energy. And it's been a beautiful journey. I've been able to develop myself and meet amazing people like Karen and be able to be a contribution to her, give her, you know, extra visibility and then others as well. But it is a business for me. So I guess I share that, you know, part of my journey with you to really kind of reinforce what I'm thinking in terms of it is a journey. It is something that you start on and it changes and it morphs and evolves. And sometimes you're oblivious to where you're at in that journey, and other times it's painfully obvious.
Right. You know, and for me, it's I needed to earn money. And so, I mean, I would love to. I have a hobby. I make quilts. It's also a place where I get quiet. It's reflective. It's kind of meditative for me to make quilts.
Decompress.
And I would love to spend my whole days doing that and making quilts and giving them away and but that's not realistic. It's not the way my life is. So what I spend my time doing in my, you know, Legacy One Authors, I have to earn money. And so, you know, that's how I differentiate. And what I wanted from my husband was, and we got there, is like he's come from a world, he's an entrepreneur, he's building houses for years and years. And he couldn't figure out the business model. Didn't make any sense to him because it was totally different from, you know, construction. And so, you know, we just hung in there, and finally, you know, the business model came. And I just wanted from him an understanding that what I did was making a difference to people, and that I was going to figure out the business model. And I did, but it took a while. It was a journey, like Cindy's was talking about. And I think when people need to earn money to, you know, have a contribute to their lives, you know, that's an important thing, to a differentiating factor around business contribution, that whole conversation. So
one thing that just jumped out from what you shared is that, you know, one is not necessarily better than the other, because in terms of being a contribution or business or both, or, you know, there's something to be said for not having the pressure of having to make money to build a business, because you're, you know, in desperation, you in many, you know, many ways you can push people away and make it harder to build your business, versus if you don't have that pressure. Sometimes it causes people to, you know, maybe wander a little bit more. So I think that balance is important as well, you know, being able to keep that in perspective. And, you know, for me, early on in my my career as a relationship marketing strategist with Send Out Cards, I was a single mom, and I didn't have any income coming in at the time, and I had to make this work. However, I knew the desperation was going to be working against me, and so I created a plan, actually with my fiancé at the time, Curtis. He sat down with me, and we created a six-month plan that I would be doing Send Out Cards full-time and just give it my all. And at the end, and I had an expectation to earn X amount of dollars to be able to provide for myself. I had savings and other things in the works. But after 6 months, if I didn't meet my monetary goal, then my plan was to take a part-time job. That way I would have established myself in my full-time business, given myself the opportunity to focus, but then, you know, had a plan B to supplement until I can get up to that monetary, goal.
Really smart strategy.
I needed to do that because I knew that if I had a part-time job first, I knew me. Again, this is knowing yourself, right? I knew me. I would pour myself into my part-time job, and I would always wonder if I could do something entrepreneurial because I would. I'm a pleaser, and I'd want to please that boss to the extent that I would, you know, not be able to really see what I could do from an entrepreneurial standpoint. And what ended up happening is I exceeded my financial goal, and I've never had to take a part-time job in 11 years. I was able to, you know, meet the financial, you know, goals that I had for my business, for myself as a single mom. I didn't have kids at the time that were at home, so that helped take the pressure off. My kids had been launched pretty much. You know, they were out of the house, but... but that, you know, that made a huge difference for me is I was able to identify the pressure and kind of release some of it, but at the same time give me a goal. So anyway, I didn't mean to go into that in detail, but I wanted to share that's, you know, I do understand the dynamics of contribution from your heart because that fills you with joy and you want to do it. And business, and I do believe that just like your Venn diagram, Karen, I do believe they can intersect.
Right. Yes, I agree. So I'd like to cover two more things before, because I'm noticing the time. I have a little quiz I'd like for people to consider, either for us on the call, but also people who will be listening later. Four questions for you to consider. It's about answering the question, are you a thought leader? Question number one, are you a subject matter expert with a process for helping others solve a problem? Yes or no? All of these are just yes or no questions. Are you expanding your sphere of influence by sharing your story, your expertise, and what you've learned on your journey? Three, are you capturing your message and your story and the process that you work with in a way that is easy to share consistently to a big audience? Basically, are you capturing your intellectual property in a way that you can share it with others? And the fourth question, do you collaborate with others to expand yours and their ideas and influence in the world? So I just encourage people to answer those questions and reflect on them. What do they tell you? And then maybe, you know, share it with an accountability partner, a support person. You know, what does it tell you, and what do you want to do with that information? And then the last thing I wanted to talk about on here is the overcoming the obstacles of fear and self-doubt, because those are by far the two biggest challenges that people share with me when I talk about what's keeping them from writing content. So we don't, this could be a whole topic of another whole call, but first of all is to identify what the obstacle is, whether it's fear, it's self-doubt, like what's going on, and name it. Admit that it's an obstacle, like I'm afraid I don't have enough information to fill a whole book. I'm afraid that people will laugh at me when I share my content. I'm afraid that I don't have enough, I don't have anything unique to say. It's already been said by other people who are smarter or more visible than I am. I've heard all of those. Because when we name it and it kind of own the fear and the doubt, it's when it's the first step in those obstacles losing their power, because we've become aware, we're recognizing it, because then we can do something about it. And then the third step is to actually take action. When we know what we're dealing with, it's kind of like we know where we want to go, we know where we are, what's the journey to get there. If I know I'm afraid, but I want to be more visible, I now know what I can make steps to overcome that fear by getting support, getting clearer, being able to speak more clearly about what it is I'm offering. There's lots of ways to overcome the obstacle, and we do it in small, consistent steps, and over time we see the results that we want. So those are the things I wanted to share. I am happy to offer people on the call a 30-minute consultation at no cost to them to talk about their visibility and what's in their way and strategize a little bit about what they want to do to get more visible. I can be reached at my website, legacyoneauthors.com. And on that website is a place where you can get access to my calendar and make an appointment with me. I think it's on the right-hand side of my website. So I hope this has been a valuable experience, gotten a nugget of information that will be beneficial to you. So, and thank you, Cindy, for the opportunity to talk with the audience of Exceptional Connection.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you so much. What a great conversation. So thank you for everyone that participated in this. And even for those who didn't share, your energy just really fueled the conversation. It was very fun and very engaging and very thought-provoking. So thank you again for joining us on our Tuesday, July 18th bonus call with Karen Lynn Maher. And thank you, Karen, again, for generously offering a free consultation to the Exceptional Connection listeners as well as anybody on the replay. Again, you can go to legacyoneauthors.com and be able to sign up for a free consultation with Karen. Or Karen's email is karen@legacyoneauthors.com if you want to have just reach out to her and have a conversation.
Yes.
So thank you again, Karen. That was great.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
So
happy to be part of it.
Yeah, it's been great to have you part of our Exceptional Connections community, and also, you know, to really be able to put some questions out there to all of us to be able to consider in terms of what's holding us back. And I love the processes that you created because that's where you have to start someplace, right?
Right, exactly.
Be quiet and understand your point of view and get clear. That clarity is important. And before I close here, I just wanted to also mention, I love that you come from a perspective of abundance mentality, because I think it's so important. It's not about competing against one another. I believe in that as well.
Right.
I believe it's about supporting one another and knowing that there's enough business, there's enough ideas, there's enough support. Mm-hmm. We just need to kind of move into that current, right?
Yeah, exactly. Totally.
So, all right. Well, I'm going to close this call. Our upcoming Exceptional Connections event is on Tuesday, August 8th, with luncheon speaker Debbie Page. And she's going to be sharing her 7 steps to success. And I had the privilege of being able to hear her talk at a recent networking event. And it's super dynamic. So, those of you on the call, those of you on the replay, definitely check your calendar and register. I expect we're going to be sold out, just because of the content and the speaker. And just like Karen's call, it doesn't matter that it's summer. You know, it's really a choice that we all make to be able to engage in our business and be visible and stay visible. So you're also not going to want to miss our August meeting because we're going to be making a special offer to attend our 4th educational series for Networking Mastery that Debbie's going to be offering on October 24th. And she's developing the exact topic of it, but it's basically a blueprint for 2018. So it's an opportunity to be able to hit the ground running in developing the strategy, the blueprint, plans for building your business in 2018. So to reserve your seat at our upcoming August 8th Exceptional Connections Luncheon, go to exceptionalconnectionsnetworking.com, and then the events and the networking luncheon drop-downs will take you to a red radio bar, radio button that will allow you to register for that event and save your seat. So thank you again for everyone joining us, and look forward to just the wonderful weather and a weekend and days of summer. And thank you again, Karen, for your contribution today and for everyone that joined us on the call.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye, guys. Thanks.